Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Rishi to the rescue, as the Chancellor commits to spending billions more on support packages for workers and UK companies, our expert explains what you could be entitled to. And after we've crunched those numbers, maths teacher and TV personality Bobby Segal will be joining me to talk about this year's National Numeracy Day, an opportunity for people of all ages to boost their numeracy and money management skills. Welcome to The Money Show, the FT's weekly podcast about personal finance and investing. I'm Claire Barrett, FT Money Editor, bringing you all of this week's news. Millions of people are desperately worried about their finances during the current crisis, but the UK government continues to extend its package of support measures for workers, companies and the self-employed. However, knowing exactly what you might be entitled to is hard to keep track of as the schemes keep being adjusted. But here to guide listeners through the latest changes is Lindsay Cook, our Money Mentor columnist. Welcome to The Money Show, Lindsay.
Hello.
So the big news this week was the Chancellor's announcement that the furlough scheme for payrolled workers has been extended potentially until October of this year.
Indeed. When the scheme was launched in March, it was open for employers to nominate staff to get up to 80% of their pay, up to £2,500 a month. And more than 7 million employees have been nominated by their employers to get this money from the government. They've started getting the money. It's been extended once to the end of May. And then this week, Rishi Sunak has said it's going to... it's been extended to the end of June. And then this week, Rishi Sunak said it would go on to October. It will carry on as it is at the moment until the end of July, which is the government paying the money through employees' payroll. And people aren't allowed to work. They've got to be at home. So it's an interesting one in that many companies don't have any work for their staff to do, but soon they will begin to get to halfway working, one hopes. And the scheme should move on so that when people have work or companies have work for their staff, they can go back into the office or into the factory and work, say, part-time. The details of how that will work from the end of July onwards have not been made yet. They're going to be available from the end of this month. And the idea is that it seems if a company has, say, 2 days work a week for an employee, then they will pay the normal 2 days work and the government will top it up to the 80%. Some companies have actually topped up to 100% of earnings anyway, but that is a big ask the longer this goes on. But now it's going on to October. It means there isn't going to be a big emergency, but people really have to, while they're at home, they should be sorting out their finances. They may have got a mortgage holiday or a holiday on their credit cards or a holiday on their car loans, but they really need to sort out how they're going to pay the extra interest on the loans and how they're going to get back into normal working and pay their bills.
Absolutely. And being furloughed obviously presents the ideal opportunity to go through the finances, as you say. But the other big event that's happening this week is that millions of self-employed workers can apply for the SEISS. This is the Self-Employed Income Support Scheme. So the equivalent, if you like, of the 80% furlough scheme for payroll workers. But this is the bit that the self-employed will get. How is that going to work?
Well, it runs for 3 months. The portal has only just opened. It's run by HMRC as well. It started before it was officially open. It opened officially on the 13th and runs to the 18th. And self-employed people who filled returned tax returns will be invited to apply on certain days between the 13th and 18th. It's random. It's not first come, first served. I've heard people are already applying and they're getting through, and it's absolutely working well. And they are being told that they should get up to 7,500, which is the maximum, in one lump sum within 6 working days of their claim being accepted. Some people are being told they fall foul of the scheme, and they're being told in bland ways. They're not told you don't get this because you didn't fill in your tax return on time. They're told it may be because you earned more than 50,000, which was one of the, or your profits were more than 50,000, or it may be because you didn't fill in a tax return, or it may be for some other reason. So they're just giving the general rules. So you have to go through and there is a helpline, and I've heard people saying that when they went through the helpline, it's like ringing HMRC normally. They've been told within a few minutes, oh, yes, I can see what's gone wrong here. Yes, you'll get your money.
Okay, so we'll probably come back to this on the podcast in future weeks because it looks like there could be some issues to come. But the more immediate question with the self-employed income support scheme is that this lump sum payment, which will be taxable eventually, of up to £7,500, that covers the months of March, April and May. Now, yesterday we heard the Chancellor say, having already extended the PAYE equivalent till June, that he was going to do so for July. But the self-employed, they've got to wait to see whether this scheme will be extended or whether that's their lot.
It's a bit early, as today, the 13th, is the first day that people officially can apply. So the Treasury doesn't know how many people are going to apply, how many people are going to qualify. There is also one other big difference. The self-employed can work elsewhere and earn money while they're claiming this. So they could start a new business. I know one person who has a hairdressing salon who is actually a greeter at a local supermarket to keep the queues going through. So you can earn money. You're not going to be necessarily in the same parlous state. And I know of other self-employed people who are adapting their businesses, and they can do so without the worry of, I'm not getting money today. Small restaurants, one I know of, is doing a takeaway service, which is starting slowly, but it's keeping in contact with their regular business. And they are really pleased that people who love going to the restaurant are actually doing it, thinking, oh, I'd like a meal from there. It's not the same ambience, but it's keeping the business going. And I think a lot of people are supporting small local businesses. So we'll see how it goes. And I'm sure from all the measures we've seen, whether it's bounce back, whether it's this, whether it's furlough, if there are properly voiced criticisms from various bodies, such as the Federation of Small Business, etc., if they're properly voiced and quantified, we seem to get a further response. So I wouldn't rule it out that there is some more, but I think they need to know just what the bill is to start with.
I think that's very wise counsel, Lindsay. Now, one group of people who we've featured since the start of the crisis who unfortunately don't come under either scheme are limited company directors who pay themselves predominantly via dividends. Now, this group are being particularly hard hit. Obviously, they can borrow through the Bounce Back Loan Scheme, although not all of them feel confident about doing so if their income has entirely stopped. Billions already lent through the Bounce Back Loan Scheme. But we are hearing, unfortunately, Lindsay, from self-employed readers included, who are already fearing that the end game for them could be insolvency.
Well, I'd say the very first thing, if they have no income, is to look at whether they're eligible for universal credit. And this has been improved during this particular crisis. It's still not massive amounts of money, but for a family in London, you can get up to £1,900 a month. Many of the websites, Step Change, Citizens Advice, have benefit calculators, and I've come across people who've been pleasantly surprised. They've either got a mortgage, they've got children, other costs, and they are getting more than they expect. And that is a help.
Now, of course, if you've got savings, the amount of universal credit that you can claim will be curtailed.
It will. But one thing that they are allowing people, if you had got savings, as most small businesses should have, towards their tax bill or their VAT bill, they will be excused. They won't be counted. So if you were, and I know the bill, the tax bill that's due in July can be deferred until January, and the current VAT bills can be deferred. So that gives a bit of breathing space as well for people's savings. But the money you have, if you say to the Universal Credit, the benefits people, this is for my tax bill, see what my tax bill was going to be, they should ignore it.
Well, that's very helpful information. And you've also been speaking to Business Debtline about the kind of calls they're receiving from people who are running their own businesses who are fearing the worst.
Yeah. Business Debtline, it's the only free dedicated debt advice service for small businesses. And it is very busy at the moment. One of the things that they're finding is that a lot of the people who come to them, yes, they are suddenly thrown into debt and they haven't experienced this in the same way before. But a lot of them are owed money by other businesses. And so on their website and through telephone and other counselling, they can help people to negotiate with the people up the line. And what is really annoying is that quite often the bigger the company they've supplied, the more likely they're to wait a long time. So it's a matter of, if you owe money, you say to the people who are your creditors, I want to continue trading. I can give you so much now and give you more and pay you interest or whatever. You need to negotiate. Business Debtline will help you. So will other organisations. Your accountant might even be able to do this. And you've got to assess this properly. And again, Business Debtline have lots of documents on its website and way to go through. If you really don't think your business is a going concern, then it probably isn't necessary to negotiate how you're going to pay them. But getting money in first from the people who owe you is really crucial. Earlier this year, Business Debtline did a survey and they found 45% of the people coming to them had serious amounts of money owed to them. One woman whose case they did it was owed £40,000. Now, one of the things they advised her to start with, because at that stage they weren't sure whether her business was going to be viable or not, was to open other bank accounts so that if money came in, her bank that she owed money to wouldn't get it all because she needed to continue and buy supplies and things. So it's the basic things about, and she didn't have a separate personal bank account, and that's a failing of a lot of small businesses. You should keep your money separate so that your family doesn't suffer if your business does.
Well, getting advice early is the advice given to people in problem debt, often, who will wait and carry on for months, if not years, struggling with the problem, whereas if they get help earlier, it may be easier to solve. So what would your advice be, Lindsay, for anyone listening who is really struggling to manage their personal finances and can just see their debts mounting up?
Well, I think the important thing is to get early advice from one of the organisations I've mentioned. They are wonderful. Quite often, people go to people like Business Debtline, they think their business is absolutely finished, and during the conversations they have, they see another route forward, and it may be their business is slightly changed for the circumstances. It's not all about just money in, money out. It's about, how am I going to develop this so it's a viable business going forward? Bankruptcy is feared by most as they start, but most of them avoid it. They may be able to do a voluntary arrangement, which is more harrowing in that you're paying money back for 5 or 6 years, whereas bankruptcy it's all over and done within a year, but you can lose your home, you can lose your car. In extreme cases, you might lose some of your pension. So you need to take advice from people who've been there lots of times, know what it's going to cost you. As I say, there's so much information online. I mean, Gov UK has it as well, but I think the charities are much more gentle in the way they talk about these things, because at the moment, people who are facing enormous debts, it's not generally their fault. Some may have overextended, some may have taken on contracts that they thought were going to be the making of their company, and it's just happened at the wrong time. And what we need is lots and lots of people to have the confidence to get back to work. It may be working for somebody else, it may be a different business. A lot of people are developing new businesses while their old one is closed down, and it may be they end up with two smaller businesses.
Well, thanks very much there to Lindsay Cook. And we should say, you should also read Lindsay's own words of wisdom. Her feature, How COVID-19 is Changing Problem Debt, is on the FT Money website now. You can read it for free, ft.com/money. As a maths teacher, Bobby Siegel is used to being asked, "Sir, what's the point of maths?" But he says he's finding that question somewhat easier to answer as maths and statistics come to the fore during the pandemic. People are looking to the numbers for answers, whether that's in measuring the rate at which new infections are spreading or the number of daily tests being carried out. But as people's finances start to come under renewed pressure, Bobby argues that maths and numeracy skills have never been more crucial. And he joins me on the line now. Welcome to The Money Show, Bobby.
Hello, Claire. Always a pleasure to be on the show. Especially, I'm in a particularly busy time for me now. Good busy.
Well, yeah. Well, tell us briefly what you've been up to since you were last on.
Obviously, I'm not physically in school, but I've continued my teaching in another capacity. So like Joe Wicks is inspiring kids to be healthy in body, I'm doing the same for their mathematical minds. So I do maths lessons on Monday, Wednesday and Friday on Facebook. And then with the Strictly crew, Oti Mabuse is a champion. She invited me to join her home festival team. So I teach things like geography, history, even drama. This morning I did a lesson on Nigeria. Looked at their culture, looked at their demographics, but even did a Nigerian dance. and I do my quiz for NHS with them every Saturday at 5 o'clock. Great fun with the family. And then on Monday, the 18th of May at 9 p.m. on BBC Two, do you know what you should be doing, Claire?
Watching BBC One, that's a guess.
Yes, you're watching BBC Two.
BBC Two, sorry.
Yes, that's okay. BBC One will be grateful for people watching them against Monkman and Siegel, because we are unstoppable. There's a new 3-part series, 1 hour each, exploring Britain's inventions and discoveries from 1750 to 1900. So it's going to be great family fun.
Excellent. Well, it's always lovely to see you and Eric Monkman on the TV. Reminds us of your duels on University Challenge. And anyone who wants to avail themselves of Bobby's maths lessons should follow you on Facebook, I assume.
Yes, Facebook or Twitter. Then I often post the details there as well, at Bobby_Stephen.
Well, in your column at the weekend, you love a quiz, and you challenge FT readers to answer 5 maths questions, including one that you're going to read out now to see how many people listening to the podcast might be able to solve it in their minds.
Okay. Millie's lunch contains 640 calories of energy. What percentage is this of her daily target intake of 2,000 calories?
Okay, so sounds fairly simple. Millie's lunch, 640 calories. What is that expressed as a percentage of her daily target intake of 2,000 calories? Well, I have to say, Bobby, if this was me talking about my lunch, then I think, indeed, my daily intake, I think the numbers would be somewhat larger. But my approach to solving this question is 2,000 calories is 100%. So if we want to find out 1% of that, divide by 100, knock off 2 noughts, that's 20. Mm-hmm. And then 640 calories of energy, to express that as a percentage, we divide it by 20, because that's 1%. Or we can even knock the noughts off, 64 divided by 2 instead of 640 divided by 20, to make it a bit easier. So I would say the answer is 32%.
10 points, FT Money Barrett. That's what Paxson would say. But the shocking thing about this is that we have 5 similar questions like this, and when posed to UK adults, 1 in 2 adults would either score 0, 1, or 2 on this. And that sort of shows the underlying issue with maths and numeracy in the UK. And National Numeracy was set up as an organization to try and tackle that, because I think literacy is something we've got a firm grip on. Most people leave school comfortable reading, writing, filling in forms. But numeracy still is a level where 1 in 2 adults have the numeracy levels we'd expect from an 11-year-old child in primary school. And that's what National Numeracy Day is all about tackling.
Now, you became an ambassador for National Numeracy, which is the charity behind the annual day, which actually takes place in the UK this year on the 13th of May, Wednesday. So podcast listeners are going to be coming to this slightly late, but that doesn't matter because National Numeracy Day is very different this year because of lockdown, and it's going to be a virtual online festival. So there's still time for people to grab a piece of the action.
Absolutely. It all stay online on the National Numeracy website. That's on numeracyday.com. And this year we've got a great variety of people involved. Obviously, Rachel Riley from Countdown, Martin Lewis from Money Saving Expert. They're sort of the key ambassadors with me, and they're delivering talks online throughout the day. We also have people like Bank of England Chief Economist Andy Haldane talking about the importance of numeracy, former Children's Laureate Lauren Child reading some of her books which have a lot of numeracy, and Rob Easterway, a maths author, talking about maths for mums and dads. And these videos will all be available throughout the day. And I'm actually doing a lesson. I'm going to become like a mini Martin Lewis for children. So I'm doing a lesson for children aged 7 to 11 and showing them how they should be confident with money. So getting them, hopefully, to be future FT readers as well.
Well, we need all the help we can get right now. But your big point about all of this, Bobby, is that being more confident with maths can make us more confident with our finances. And because children's attitudes towards money are frighteningly often set by the age of 7, according to the Money Advice Service, the earlier that you can get to them, the more you can make them realise that maths and numeracy could be the key to financial happiness later in life.
Absolutely, because so many people have negative experiences of maths. So they think, oh, I hate numbers, I can't deal with it. And therefore, in their daily lives, when it comes to their bank statements, personal finance, pay slips, they ignore it because they think there's numbers. And obviously, I have to acknowledge, maths isn't going to magically make you financially secure, but it does mean you can understand the numbers that are involved with your finances. For young kids, you know, from 5, 6, 7, start talking to them about money, you know, get them thinking about decisions when you go to the shops. And adults as well, if you're struggling with your personal finances, addressing your numeracy issues is an easy way into at least start tackling that big beast of personal finance.
Well, thanks very much there to Bobby Siegel. You can read his money column, The Pandemic is Also a Test of Our Math Skills, right now on our website, ft.com/money. And that has the remaining 4 questions on maths that, as Bobby said, half of UK adults sadly can't answer. Although, in the words of one FT reader who commented online, David Tallboys, any FT readers, he says, who couldn't get 5 out of 5 for those questions ought to give up making comments and learn some arithmetic.
Okay.
Quite. David, maybe you're a maths teacher, but Bobby, we look forward to welcoming you back on the podcast sometime soon.
Thank you so much, Claire, and happy belated or late National Numeracy Day.
That's it from The Money Show this week. You can contact me or our team of experts by email. money@ft.com is our address, or follow us on Twitter @ftmoney for the latest news updates. We'll be back next week at the usual time. Goodbye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.